You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
Well, this past Tuesday night, Linda and I were at the Hollywood Bowl. The summer concerts are always a wonderful way to relax at the end of the day, to enjoy some good food, company, and of course, we also go for the music. It was a lovely concert. It featured two pieces by Aaron Copland and Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. Now, the Beethoven is always a tour de force, and the Master Chorale, and also kudos to our very own tenor, Matthew Miles, who's in Master Chorale. He's hiding up there in the balcony, so he thinks we don't see him up there. Kudos to him, the orchestra, the soloists, they all grabbed our attention that night. But what more people remembered, I suspect, was the presentation of Aaron Copland's A Lincoln Portrait, specifically the narrator that night for the composition, Vin Scully. Now, I'm here to tell you, I have attended countless concerts at the Hollywood Bowl, but I have never seen an audience spontaneously rise to its feet before the piece even began. Clearly, there are a lot of Dodger and Vin Scully fans who also frequent the Hollywood Bowl. Who'd have thought? Well, Copland was commissioned to write this piece in 1942. And all he was told at the time is he was to write a piece about an eminent American. And it was the composer who chose Abraham Lincoln. This was composed shortly after the attack on Pearl Harbor, and the war was a specter over the nation and the world. Snippets of Lincoln's writing and speeches were woven into this symphonic work. It's amazing how timeless these words are. And I was particularly struck by the excerpt that came from the 1858 debate between Douglas and Lincoln. And these are Lincoln's words. "It is the eternal struggle between two principles, right and wrong, throughout the world. It is the same spirit that says, you toil and work and earn bread, and I'll eat it. No matter in what shape it comes, whether from the mouth of a king who seeks to bestride the people of his own nation and live by the fruit of their labor, or from one race of men as an apology for enslaving another race, it is the same tyrannical principle." These words are timeless. They could have been written for any generation or any era. The human family's penchant to oppress others in order to enjoy personal gain is something that fills the pages of our history books. The cries for deliverance have been a steady sound, even when many have tried to cover up those cries. Sometimes the pushing down of people and individual rights is triggered by an individual or a regime. Sometimes it is because of the apathy of a massive group of people. Regardless of how it begins, it is ultimately a corporate conspiracy which keeps it in place. And every so often, we have seen people like a Gandhi, or a Nelson Mandela, or a Martin Luther King Jr., whose voice or voices arose to bring hope in what was seemingly hopeless situations. The bottom line, this is a journey humanity has known forever. The road trip to deliverance is a familiar one. The voices which cried for deliverance filled the pages of the Hebrew Bible, part of our sacred texts. Stories of oppression are a common thread through the many generations of which we hear and read. And one of the stories, writ large, was the plight of the Hebrew people in Egypt. What first started as a mutually beneficial situation, the story says, turned into enslavement. We remember that the descendants of Abraham had gone to Canaan, but when famine arose, they had to leave what they thought was their promised land and go to Egypt. So this was a particularly painful story for the Hebrew nation, given the covenant that had been established with God many generations before, the covenant which promised to Sarai and Abram and all their offspring land and descendants. Well, the offspring were there, and the Egyptians considered them a threat, we are told. The land, well, that was now a different story. Once again, they found themselves in their collective history far away from Canaan, far away from the promised land that had been considered to be their birthright. And this was the setting for the emergence of Moses, the leader under whose guidance and authority the Hebrew people would be delivered from their bondage. It was the initially reluctant leader, Moses, that led them on the path of deliverance, a road trip that certainly we would say was of epic proportions. Now, the passages that I chose to have read this morning are just a few snippets of what is a very long tale. The first we heard was God coming to Moses, saying that God knew and understand the plight of the people. And then we have that familiar story of them leaving Egypt and the parting of the Red Sea, which allowed for the escape of the people and for the foiling of Pharaoh's armies in pursuit of the escapees. Now, the hows and the whys of whether and how all of this happened, friends, those aren't the issues, nor is the exact route of this legendary escape, because this is the text that we have. And you see, these evocative images that we have here were symbols, symbols of God's great power at work. The pillar of cloud that was before them, an angel of God, the storyteller says. And the parting of the water, when you think about it, it's a powerful, strong symbol of how God could bring people through a hostile environment. And the entrapment and the destruction of the army which followed them was a reminder that they, the Hebrew nation, were the children of a covenant that God intended to keep. The important issue here, and for every generation that continues to hear this story, is that it is a clear demonstration and a belief that God heard and that God understood the plight of the people and set the stage for the end of their captivity. And every time that this epic was retold and probably added to, it emphasized God's unwavering faithfulness to the long ago established covenant. It seems really strange when we hear of the end of Moses' life. In fact, it really is a bitter irony, because Moses goes to the top of Mount Nebo and God shows him the panorama of the land that the Hebrew people were to inhabit. But the leader of the people, Moses, would not enter that land and would die before ever setting foot into Canaan. The storyteller suggests that there was a reason that Moses was not allowed to enter the promised land. And perhaps this reason was an attempt to help people to understand why the deliverer was not able to accompany those who were delivered. In other words, it was just trying to make sense of the fact that Moses died before this journey was finished. Well, this story of the Exodus, and I really encourage you to go home and sit down and read it in its entirety. This story has provided hope and the foundation for many of the movements toward freedom that have popped up in our world generation after generation. The story of a captive people finding release is one of those archetypal stories of hope that continues to plant new seeds every time it seems that injustice will prevail. This story, friends, is a reminder of the human spirit which can never be bound. It is a story of God and God's people walking the challenging path of life with the reminder that God is there, that God is always there. The church, through its history, has understood this story. While there are indeed far too many times when religious people were the perpetrators of great injustice, people of faith have also been responsible for leading the quest for change. The civil rights movement in this nation found its roots in the church, and the story of the Exodus was a touchstone. People of faith marched in solidarity and made it clear to the powers and the principalities that it was time to change. Decades later, we see change, but we also realize that the work certainly is not finished. And like the children of Israel who wandered in the desert as a part of their deliverance, the same might be said for us now. At the same time, we also have the promise that just as God did not abandon the Hebrew people as they sought their deliverance, God is with all who seek deliverance. God is with all who help to deliver others, who do the work of justice and peace and hope. Obviously, this narrative of the Exodus is written on the large scale. But the beauty of this story is it also contains truth that transcends the scope of this story. The scope of Exodus, the story of Exodus, is also a story that relates to the microcosm of our individual lives and the many journeys upon which we find ourselves. Last week, when we were talking about the road trip and the journey, we thought about the crossroads at which we sometimes find ourselves and the need for us to choose a route, to choose a path. Sometimes the path we need is like the one for the children of Israel. We need a path that delivers us from the place where we find ourselves, a place where we may very well be stuck. We yearn for a path that takes us from the hopelessness and the real or the symbolic bondage that might be our current reality. Sometimes, friends, we need a road trip that leads to a deliverance experience. When we think about the many twists and turns that are a part of all of our lives, what comes to mind? What are the joys that we hold tightly to, the good times that bring to us a smile or a warm feeling? What are the significant events that serve as benchmarks and as touchstones for who we are, for what we hope to become? At the same time, while holding on to those things, it is also important for us to acknowledge those other things, those other forces that are part of us, the things that hold us behind. What are the stuck places in our lives? The things from which we cannot escape? Are these realities the results of our own choices? Or are they things over which we really had no control? What are those roads of deliverance that we need today? The storyteller reminds us that the road to deliverance for the children of Israel was not easy. It was full of fits and starts and detours and times when everything came to a grinding halt. There were times when returning to the place from which they came seemed a better alternative. We see the same happen when we dream of societal change, resulting in a way of life much better in tune with God's hope for the creation. We see the same happen within our own lives. Yes, it can be much the same for each of us as we make a trek towards a better, more hope-filled life. We know it happens in fits and starts. The challenge that the road to deliverance presents, quite honestly, is one that requires us to change. While it certainly may require change outside of us, it really starts with the change that needs to take place inside of us. And change, as we so well know, is difficult because we do not like the paths, the roads that lead to the unfamiliar. Sometimes the prospect can be so paralyzing that it causes us to stay put. Yes, a new path can be a very difficult proposition. That certainly was the case for the children of Israel. They had to change. They had to create a new identity as they moved from captivity to freedom. And it is hard to forge that new kind of path. And friends, it is the same for you and for me. Our own deliverance can be a very difficult process, and at times we might just prefer the status quo because it is something that we know. But friends, we have hope. We have the same hope that the Hebrew people clung to so tightly. The message that comes through loud and clear in the story of Exodus is that God is with us. God is with us during the processing, during the guiding. God is there supporting us. God is there with every step we take. But God does not do it for us. So the question, when we need deliverance, are we ready to go into the unknown? Are we willing to change? With God's help, may it be so. Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.